Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours today. We've got a gentleman in front of me who I'll introduce in a minute. In between one and two, I'm hoping our private investigator might be able to talk to us, but he's tied up in a court case at the moment, so we'll just see how that goes. And then between two and three today, of course, we have the Council Connection Show with Michael and the crew, and they'll be in between two and three. But first of all, I'd like to introduce you to a man. His name is Mark Cohen. Now, Mark has written a book, and we're going to talk all about that book as we go on. But first of all, I want to talk about a few other things. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Now, Mark, how did you decide you wanted to write a book? I want to go right back to the very start. Did you all of a sudden have one day get up and think, I think I could write a book? What was the motivation, or what actually twigged you, let's write a book?
Okay, I think that answer comes in two parts. The interest in writing stemmed right back to when I was at school, and I was meant to leave school, go to university and do journalism, but a lot of things got in the way in year 12, as they unfortunately do.
That often does.
So I ended up going to work instead. And always doodled with writing, did some creative courses, writing courses when I was younger through correspondence, enjoyed those. They did very well. And then got caught up in a career. So I've got a couple of filing cabinets full of scribbles and doodles, which are still there. I've never thrown anything away, much to my wife's chagrin. And then we fast forward, I suppose, to when I retired last year. I was meant to, and still hope to, start up another business in photography with a friend of mine. But our schedules just haven't aligned. So I was left filling in a lot of time from the middle of last year. And one of the things that sort of captured my imagination the most was what's going on in the world of AI in terms of photography. That led me to then start playing around on Photoshop with just what AI generation can do. And for whatever reason, and we'll call it my penicillin moment because it all happened by accident, we created an image of a panda closely followed by 30, 40, 50 other images of pandas. And they all were quite nice images, which I brought a couple in to show you today, and sort of just left those around on our dining table, and all our grandkids, because there's a number of them around that drop in, all seem captivated by it. And I had actually been trying to push my wife Carol into writing. She's got a very creative brain, so I hoped that this would spur her on, having all these random images. It didn't. And then I just got to a point one day when I thought, well, I can see a narrative. Just the way that the images had fallen on the table, it just seemed that there was a storyline there, and that then led to me writing that first book with a great deal of help from her.
Right. So you've made up your mind. You think I'm going to write – well, you haven't probably made up your mind 100%, but you think, well, I'm going to write a book. Now, first of all, did you write it all in one hit? How long does it take you to write a book?
With these types of books, it doesn't take too long, and the initial aim, again, wasn't so much to even have it published. It was just to get something for the grandkids. So I wanted to give them a little something from Popple, as they call me, for Christmas, and that's where it was meant to go.
So you were just going to get, say, a dozen copies
published,
professionally published, or was it the idea just to, you know, publish it off your own computer?
There are a lot of good word apps these days and sort of self-publish online. So I just chose one of those where you could get a low-volume print run. And then when you see the finished product in your hand, that's when a few kind people started to encourage me to say, well, perhaps there is a broader audience for this particular story. So that led me to then send it off to half a dozen different what I thought were specialists in children's publications around the world.
All right, I just want to go back just one step, just for one moment if I can, because I've got to take a break in a minute. You said you were interested in photography with your friend.
Yeah.
What sort of photography? Are you talking still life or scenery or what?
For me, it's predominantly landscapes. I find bird photography very interesting because they're constantly moving and constantly challenging.
Yep.
We both have a strong interest in aviation, so we find ourselves at air shows quite regularly.
Right.
He's a professional industrial photographer, so he's often down mines or up chimneys, etc. Yep. So between us, we sort of cover most aspects. He's done weddings, which he refuses to do any more of those because they're too challenging, etc. So between us, we want to assist people with workshops, take them on tours. He's very good at processing and using things like Photoshop, etc., for helping people.
Look, I've just got to go. It's bad luck Greg Carrick's not with us because he's been a professional photographer for many years.
Yeah.
We've got to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
You wanna go and do that, love, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, love, huh? Now why you wanna go and do that, and do that, and do that?
Yeah. I like this one.
What?
Like Jimmy said.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone?
And that was Janet Jackson doing a updated version. You don't know what you've got until you've lost it. Now, I'm talking to Mark, and he's written a book all about pandas. All right, Mark, I still want to go down this, how we get this book, right? So
sure.
You've put all this stuff around. You've started to write the book. Now, do you just get up one day and have all and just go bang and write the whole thing in one day? Do you wake up in the middle of the night before you even get this thing to paper and pencil and with ideas and say, oh, yeah, this should be in it, this should be in it? And the third question is, do you, like, obviously it's about a panda, so that's your focal point.
Yeah.
Do you then, with that, think, oh, yeah, I should add other people in, or do you start writing and think, oh, no, I should add this in, or I should add that in? So about three questions there, so I'll leave it to you.
I'll do my best to answer, possibly in reverse order. The idea of this particular panda was that it's almost like a coming-of-age story. So he just was a little bit tired of every week having to look after his younger sister while his mother goes shopping.
Yep.
And just dreamt of what it would be like to go out into the world and just be on his own, which he's able to do, and I won't do any spoiler alerts.
No, you don't want to spoil it.
How that occurs. But whilst he's away, whilst he's travelling, he comes to a realisation that there's perhaps more to life than what he had hoped he would fulfil with the dream. So that's where the coming of age element is. So,
yep.
And I think working backwards from there, and that's why I was saying it was a real penicillin moment, in as much as the images dictated the text. So because I'd already created so many images and they were in a random order.
Yeah, but you had to pick those. We'll say you got 40 of them or 50 of them.
Yeah.
But you didn't use 50 of them. So what prompted you? Did you have the idea of what you wanted to say before you got the image, or did you go through and say, I think I could use that image?
Well, as I said, the images almost fill out in a certain order. It's almost like you drop a deck of cards and they just... And that you just spill. So they created a narrative, and between the editing between Carol and myself, we did cull quite a few out that didn't add anything to the story.
Right.
And then with the publisher that I subsequently went with, we removed a further 10 pages that were just not really necessary to the narrative in order to keep the production costs down. So
again, did you have some of these wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh, this should be in, or here's an idea, or I can alter the text, or once you sat down, did it just, you didn't have any other thoughts?
I think it was one of those wake-up bubble moments that once we'd culled the images and it created a story, that came very quickly. It was almost one of those wake-up with it, and it just almost wrote itself.
So then, all right, so how long did it take you to write the book?
Believe it or not, less than a couple of days. It really,
is that all?
Very quick, yeah. There was obviously some editing and some get rid of this and get rid of that from the wise ears and eyes around me. But, yeah, it did come together very quickly.
So when you had this coming along with this, did you sit down and you write it over a couple of days? Did you then go away and come back a day or two later and think, oh, no, that's not how it should be, or, no, that doesn't quite make enough sense, I need to put something else in, or I need to take something out? Did that happen?
Not anything materially. I think it was more just punctuation and just trying to find one word instead of four. I've always written professionally and thought things on LinkedIn, et cetera, and work documents, and always been referred to as being fairly long-winded, so it was a good lesson in trying to
it was
use one word instead of four.
You had to economise as you went along.
Absolutely, yes.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more.
Long, long. be singing with the Sally Annie Band. Just a band of happy people, teaching, preaching, love is equal. When you feel the spirit move ya, glory, glory, hallelujah. Long, long live love. Love is to care, caring and sharing. Long, long live love, 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 love. Oh, long, long live love. As long as we live, living for giving. Long, long live love.
And that was our Olivia Newton-John. Sad what happened to her, but she did so much with her life after all these great songs she brought us. Terrific person. Anyway, I'm talking to Mark and we're talking about a book he's written, but I'm also very keen to find out a bit about how an author puts a bit, puts a book together. Now, Mark, you were saying off air you've written some other books.
That's right.
Did you use the same process for those or how did you, and were they longer books or were they children's books?
They're children's books with the same characters. I think that the central character, Pardu, and his sister, Priya, will be the nucleus of all future books. But what I've attempted to do here is probably write in a more traditional manner where there's a storyline first and foremost.
Yep.
Keep that nice and tight and make sure that that's entertaining and engaging, and then create the imagery to go with the
text.
Oh,
rather than what you've done this time,
that's
the
right.
Imagery and make the story.
A complete reversal, yeah. Probably doing it properly now. Yeah.
Yep. Well, would you say that's properly? Well, obviously this way worked for you, so why would you say the other way was proper, whereas what you've done this time isn't improper, but it's not quite the way.
I think to keep the characters and the story going, I don't think I can keep printing off 40 or 50 images at random, throw them on the table, then hope that future stories can evolve from that. So
yep.
I think we've got to have journeys in mind for the characters and then create the imagery to support the narrative.
Yeah. All right. I've just got to take a quick break. Pardon me. Now, you've got the book, you've got it on your computer, you've got these images to go with it, all printed. How do you find a publisher? And you said that you'd been to publishers all over the world, I think you said.
Yeah, I sent it off to six, and
yep.
Things have changed since I was hoping to be a writer as a younger bloke. So
yep.
the world this day is very much focused on self-publishing and even a beast called hybrid publishing, where you do make a contributing payment towards getting your book to press,
yep.
But you're using the assistance of all the back end of a publishing house. So I sent it off to six, what I thought were specialist
children's, yep.
Publishers around the world, and actually got four offers back. So,
oh, did you?
Yeah. And I think three were in England and one was in America. And I ended up going with the publishers in America. They offered more in terms of me being able to hold on to the IP afterwards, etc. So
what's IP?
The intellectual property. So
yep.
Being able to hang on to any, if you've got as far as merchandising rights or audiobooks, etc. So any of the spin-offs that can possibly come from books, they allowed me to keep that in the contract.
Right.
So it went with that, and they've been excellent to work with. The downside only of that is that they are so far away, they don't really have a presence
yep.
in Australia.
Yep. So it's all done via the internet.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. And the other draw card that we've got, especially at the moment thanks to Donald Trump, is the exchange rate. Everything they do is in American dollars. So unfortunately, once the price converts from US dollars to Australian, the retail price of this particular book here is going to be quite high for a book of that particular type.
Is it? All right, so when it's gone to the publisher, two things, do they come back to you and say, oh, look, Well, I think you might have alluded this to before, that they come back and say, no, it's not tight enough, you need to cut some words out. And the other thing is too, when, and this is probably a bit of an unfair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, do they, when they're looking at a book, do they look at it and say, nah, Amazon and all those wouldn't touch this, and therefore that helps them guide what they're going to do? Or do they look at it and say, oh, yeah, we could sell this through Amazon or whatever?
This particular publisher, their motto is they only publish 20 books per month across all genres. So they're quite selective in what they do. So I think in answering your question, the book would have to have appeal across the Kindle ebooks on Amazon, etc. So yeah, they work with all the major networks like Barnes and Noble, Amazon, Waterstones in England, Dimmicks here, etc. So, they did ask some fairly tough questions during the editing process. And
what sort of questions? You know, just roughly.
In terms of being able to edit out certain pages.
Because they thought it was too long?
Too long, yeah.
Yep.
And that's what you can't see when you're too close to writing a book. You have those extra two or three pages to tell a particular storyline that just don't need to be there. So that's the benefit of a great editor.
Is it? So they actually edit the book for you?
They make suggestions, yes.
Yep. Yeah. And so then when it's fine, so you obviously keep going backwards and forwards. So who makes the final decision? You do as the author and says, well, this is what I want to print, or no, I don't want to print that?
They allow you to think that it's your decision, but common sense dictates that you do go with their recommendation.
There'd be many husbands says the same thing.
Yeah. We learn eventually, I think. Yeah.
So, all right, you've got it all settled now. When you initially send it over to them, do you send the images with it as well as the story, or do you just send the story and then once they've agreed on that, then you put the images to it?
It goes as a complete PDF file, so they can see the book as it's almost meant to be.
Right.
And then upon their acceptance of it, they ask for the text and the images to be sent separately so they can then manipulate it in the right font and position it correctly.
So do you ever find, or when you, not ever, when you were doing this, did you ever find, or did you find, I shouldn't say ever, did you find that they may occasionally say, yeah, no, I don't like that image, like we like that bit of the story, but we think you should do X, Y, or Z with that image?
Very much so. There was two images that they asked me to change because I had a style that wasn't compatible with the rest of the images that were in the book. So, as I was saying, the way that Photoshop works is you can create and then manipulate. So you do have a certain high degree of control over the image that you're producing, but two were almost photo-like, which is not in keeping with the rest of the images that were in the book. So they did ask me to replace those.
So when you say that you can alter it, you can create it, then how do you alter it? Is that a separate program on the computer? Or?
It's actually part of the AI generator, but it also happens when you're processing images from your camera as well. So you have, as you do on the board in front of you, dozens and dozens of sliders that can do anything from contrast to colour to black and white, etc. So you really can personalise those images, even though you've created the only one that's in existence anyway.
Oh, right. So you keep saying, talk about AI, that this whole thing really can. How much harder would it have been to write this book if AI didn't exist?
Well, I can't draw. I know my wife can, so she would have been first capable. I do have a friend who I did want to do the images for the book, but he's a younger fellow with a career just starting and works all different long hours. So to be able to sort of tie him down and get him to produce 30 to 40 images, that would have taken a great deal of time. So,
and I suppose the other issue too, like he might have presented the 30 or 40 to you and then you say, well, I just don't quite like this or I just don't quite like that. So he'd have to keep going over it all the time, wouldn't he?
Yeah, the time span would have been a good deal longer. And the thing I do like about the images in this book is that there's a lot there behind the scenes. So if you look deep into the images, there's different things for the parents. They can stop on that particular page and direct the child to look around and see things at the back of the image or small different elements and aspects that make the story even more engaging.
So you've done that on purpose?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Fascinating. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more.
I knew he must have been about 17. He was strong, playing my favorite song, and I could tell it would be long that he was with me, yeah, me. And I could tell it would be long that he was with me, yeah, me. His name, that don't matter, he said, 'cause it's all the same. So can I take you home where we can be alone? And next we're moving on. He was with me, yeah, me. Next we're moving on. He was with me.
Yarra Valley FM through station sponsorship.
Our listeners want to hear about your business so they can support you while you support us.
We're a not-for-profit organisation run 100% by volunteers and serving our local community with an independent voice.
We also give local people the opportunity to learn valuable media skills.
Details of our sponsorship packages are on our Promote Your Business page at yarravalleyfm.org.au. Or call us on 0493 970 857.
Let us tell the Yarra Valley and beyond about your business.
Now, I've been talking to Mark about his child's book that he's written, and about 5 to 1, if you have your pencil and paper ready, Mark will tell you all about where you can buy the book. Mark, once it's right, so you've got it all, you've been to the publisher says, yep, go. So what sort of cost to the author after that, and who does the printing?
They get the printing done. It's called print on demand. So anywhere in the world, that file now resides at a number of different print warehouses. So in Australia, it's actually down at Scoresby, not too far away in Melbourne.
True.
Yep. So there's a distributor called Ingram who do a lot of printing. So,
oh, I've seen Ingram's around. Yep. Yeah.
So they release the book. So if you order the book in Australia, it will get printed locally. So they do warn that there could be slight print variations between the one here or the one in England or Mexico, etc. Yep. So it's all done online. So no warehouse has to hold hundreds and hundreds of books.
So I was going to ask you that. Do they do initial print 500, 1,000 or 2? a dozen, or do they only print books as they get the orders for them?
If my surname was J.K. Rowling or Agatha Christie, then perhaps they'd stock up. But no, not for me. It's just a print on demand.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's intriguing. So, what sort of costs are to print a book? Because it's a beautiful book. The actual printing process, do you know what that roughly costs?
They have a Australian equivalent cost of $19. So the cost from them to the distributors is about $19.
So it's produced to get the whole thing printed. And I mean, it's a beautiful looking book.
Thank you, yeah.
So that's...
And then there's quite a few people with their hands in the till that take a bit of margin as well along the way. So there's distributors, there's agents, and the bookstores in general, they have an industry standard of 40%. So retailers, 40% is how the book world goes, and that's pretty non-negotiable. Yeah.
So true. I was in the industry where if we made 15% margin, we were
I'll ask you about that off air, what that was.
Oh, it was a shocker. All right, we'll take one more quick break and then we'll be back. We'll start to wrap it up. If you get your paper and pencil ready, Mark will tell you how you can get hold of this book. We've talked about a lot about the books. You've also said you've got some more books in the pipeline. Are they still to be written, or have you actually written those books?
They are finished, and the artwork is being put together on those now. So they
children's books,
all children's book with the same characters.
Yep.
So separate standalone stories with the characters from the first book in it, and introducing a few new characters each time.
So now you've twigged me, really. how have you decided what new characters you're going to put in, or how did you decide what characters you're going to put in those other books? Because you've obviously used the pandas to start with. How did you come along with others? Because you didn't AI those, did you? Or
you want to peek behind the curtains? That's
yeah.
I think they're just plot devices. Characters need to come in to expand the story and keep it fresh and open new boundaries, etc. So it almost becomes just a natural development as you're writing. So,
all right. So hopefully there's another three in the pipeline.
That's the aim.
Do you then intend to keep writing children's book, or you told us before that you've got plenty of stuff put aside that for books that. Or not much, so much books, but jottings. Do you see that you might one day write a novel? I don't know what sort of novel, but for adult consumption?
That's always on the cards. There's been a couple of adult novels bubbling around in my head for about the last 3 or 4 years, and I think that's a sign that if they're not going away, that there's something there of worth. But
yep.
I think in the near future, probably a photography book. If we can get the photography business that we'd like to up yep. and running, we'd like to write an accompanying book to go with the workshops and the YouTube videos that we're doing. So.
All right, so would that book be just, because I know Greg Carrick occasionally, I think at Christmas time, he produces a bit of a book around a whole lot of the, he picks the best photos he's taken for the year. Is that the sort of book you mean, or is it a book explaining photography?
It would cover all different grounds. It'd be almost like a cookbook, in as much as at the start you've got aspects of techniques.
Yep.
And then we would do things like portraiture or lighting or landscapes or birding, etc. So there'd be different chapters, one chapter for each of the videos that we're hoping to produce. So we've done three videos already.
One thing that Greg said to me, because there was a particular house up here, I'm not going to bother going into it, and I drove past about a dozen times and said to Greg, you know, I should take a photo of that just as a passing. And he said to me, if you see something and you think you should take a photo of it, stop, because it's twigged your interest. Now, it may not be of interest to anyone else. And I'm not a photographer. I only use the phone to do it. And driving down from Hillsville down to Lilydale, particularly later in the night, you'll see all the different colours in the sky.
Yes,
and that.
Yeah.
Is that true, that if you see something and it twigs your interest, you really should take a photo?
I wholeheartedly agree. There's two photos that I didn't take, and one was actually here in Hillsville, that I can remember to this day, and I regret bitterly that I missed out on those opportunities. So, yeah, you get out the car, you park as best you can, and you run with your camera, and you get that moment.
Strange you should mention that, because I did an interview with Greg last week, and he said he'd been at the football match. I think it was a professional gig where he was asked by the local paper.
Yeah.
And he'd taken about 500 photos. He was just sick of it. So he packed it all up, he's walking away, and he saw two players running towards each other, and he thought, yeah, I should get my camera out. He thought, blow it, and kept walking.
Oh, dear.
And he said they collided yeah. and went up in the air, and one of them actually had to be taken by an air ambulance. And he said, you know, I still can't get over the fact, because that would have been an award-winning
image.
Photo that would have been, everybody would love to have seen. But he said, because I just couldn't be bothered. And he said I struggled for years over that. So you're saying you've got one too?
Yeah, there's definitely one here in Hillsville. I could see it in my mind's eye very clearly, and I wished I had taken it, and it haunts me to this day. So.
And you can't recreate it?
I would need the man and the dog to both be sitting on that seat, covered in autumn leaves, staring into... No, I don't... Unless I could find him again, no.
No, you couldn't do it.
No.
So it was just one of those things that happened
yeah.
and it just disappeared.
Yeah, man and his dog at peace, sitting completely covered by leaves. It was fascinating.
All right. So apart from the fact that hopefully these three other children's books will be publicised... What sort of theme, when you say that you, or I asked you before about doing an adult book, are they all different themes that you've got? Because you said you've got more than one in your mind, or are they, again, all on the same sort of theme?
I like history. I've always immersed myself in that. I like characters like Churchill, and just side stories to what might have been happening in their lives. So just writing fiction stories based on people that we know, but a completely different sort of fictional narrative.
So. All right. So you wouldn't actually write about, say, Churchill, what he'd done. You'd take Churchill and put your interpretation around what could have happened.
Yeah, just use the times that he was in and the elements of what was going on to create a side story with occasional references to historical details and facts to keep the timeline relevant to people that know a bit about history. So,
that'd be fascinating.
You never know.
Because there was a book, I was told, who was it about? Was it Agatha Christie? Someone's written a book about, and it wasn't what happened. It was they'd taken an event and then made something else around about it. Can't remember where I read that, but I read somewhere where I'm pretty certain it was Agatha Christie. Because she disappeared for 2 years,
yes,
didn't
right.
she?
She did.
That's right. And so somebody wrote a book as to what she could have done that to. Now, they've got no idea, but they took Agatha Christie and the sort of lifestyle she lived and then created a whole new book against it.
Well, another thought bubble I've had, and I can see you've got quite a few pictures of the Beatles around the building, and what would have happened if when John and Paul McCartney had met, John said, no, I don't want you in the band, and they'd gone their separate ways. So what would have happened to those four musicians in the 60s? They would have created a completely different timeline and story for themselves. So I think there's a fascinating fiction book there as to what they would have done with their lives instead.
Yeah, so. That's a bit of a different
spin on things.
Slant altogether, isn't it? All right, now, we've been telling the people about what's all about this book.
Yeah.
So we've tweaked their interest. Where are they going to get to see them? Or buy it, I mean.
Well, locally, James at the Collins Bookshop in Croydon Main Street has been very supportive. There's some copies of the book there now, so I'd like to give them a very strong plug. The book can be purchased there or from my website, which is www.pardoothepanda.com.
www.pardoothepanda.com. Is that in lowercase?
It is, all lowercase. Yeah. And happy to sell autographed copies directly from there. They are obviously going to be cheaper from Collins, but happy to send books directly as well.
That sounds fair. So it's the three W's, Pardoo, P-A-R-D-O-O. I presume it's all one word, thepanda.com.
That's correct.
Sounds terrific. Look, I hope it goes well.
Thank you.
So what are you going to call the next ones? Would it still be Pardoo,
I can tell you the next book's called Pardoo and the Magic Gate, because we need to keep it magical.
Yep.
And so he gets a bit
Kids
of...
Kids love magic, don't they?
Absolutely, yes.
I guess the other thing too that's coming up is, of course, when we start talking about, it's a fair way away yet, but Christmas, I mean, these would be an idea. If you could give a child an autographed book, it's kids love it, don't they?
I am told that for the children's book world, Christmas is really the time that you need to be in the market for. So, yeah, maybe those other three books will sort of filter out by then, we'll see.
I was going to say to you, that was going to be my next question. I was going to say to you, if this goes well or whatever happens, how long before you reckon you get the next one?
I think 3 to 6 months is a decent spacing, but I really will be gauging how the first book goes and sort of work out a response from that, a strategy. Yep. So, yeah.
So you've talked about your wife on a number of occasions. She's helped you with this.
Very much, yeah.
Is she going to write a book herself, or she can't get the interest?
She's too busy reading them. I really would urge, she's a great drawer, and she's got a strong imagination, and I think she'd be great at it. But
it's a bit hard to ask her this. Would she write the same children's books? Like, would she write children's books, or would she rather write a novel?
I think she would definitely write children's books, and I'm sure she'd do a better job than me, but...
Don't sell that. You're just trying to get people to buy your book. You don't want to say someone else would do a better job.
No.
Look, it's a fascinating to us poking to you. I just... it's something that when I heard about you, I thought I've got to talk to you because I've got to find out how these books come about.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you walk into a bookshop and there they are, $30, $40 or whatever they are, and you think, oh, yeah, pretty simple little story. But it's all that backstory. Like, it just didn't happen.
No. It's a fascinating industry, very different to the one I'm used to from working in and still learning very much about it. But it's like an onion. There's so many layers to it. So,
is it? Yeah. Just keeps... And the next time we're saying that you might publish yourself?
Self-publish, yes, the next 3 years. I'd like to keep the cost down so that... more relevant to Australian pricing, so
yeah. It's a bit hard when you're using Australian dollars, isn't it? That you're actually,
The currency world's a bit unpredictable at the moment for world events. So, yeah.
All right, look, got to go, Mark. It's been fascinating talking.
Thank you for having me. Really,
no, thank you for coming in. The 3 W's dot Pandu, Pardu, Pardo. thepanda.com. Have a look at it. Mark would be only too happy to sell you a copy. I hope it goes really well for you, Mark.
Thank you.
And I look forward to talking to you again sometime. Maybe you'll have a novel.
You never know.
Thanks.
Cheers.